like I did yesterday that how many people were here at the wedding from the church? You guys all clean up really good. You had suits and ties on. You looked really, really sharp. Actually, I think Ron was mentioning we should do this more often. I think the last time I've seen Ron in a tie is at a wedding. Also, we're so thankful for our children. Did you love the little children singing, "Jesus loves me"? Why? Because Easter tells me so. It's so exciting to see them doing that. I don't know about you, but Easter is an exciting time of year. I love it because it really reminds me so clearly about who I am and what I'm all about. I come to this part of the year, and it's almost like this is the beginning of the year. Doesn't it feel like it starts everything off? And today we're going to talk about the subject, what if Jesus did not rise from the dead? Interesting. It's a little bit of a turn. And we're in the scriptures today at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So if you want to turn there, that would be great. But I know of a little story that I read many, many years ago and was reminded this week about it, about a little boy named Philip who had Down syndrome. He was a sweet little boy. He was a happy child. But of course, there was a lot of difference between Philip and others in his age group, and especially as Philip came to Sunday school each and every week, the kids around him recognized that Philip was different. And they didn't really accept him. You know, 8-year-old children, they can be a little cruel sometimes. But they had a great Sunday school teacher, and she decided that since it was the spring, she wanted to teach about new life, and she wanted to help the kids understand it. So she brought, do you remember years ago, ladies especially, of course, those pantyhose that were in the egg cartons, in the eggshells? I think they're called legs, right? Yeah, Pat's, she's shiny. Yeah, I know those ones. Yeah, they're fun. And she brought about a dozen of these eggs to the Sunday school and said, we're all going to go outside now, and we're going to find symbols of new life. And so all the kids went outside of the church, and they came back in, and they'd all found some symbol of new life and put it in the egg, and they one by one went and stood at the front and said, they opened the egg, here's my symbol of new life. And there was a flower in one, and a little butterfly in another one, and there was a leaf in another one. And then they came to little Philip and his egg, and he opened it in front of the class, and it was empty. And all the kids laughed at Philip and said, "How, you blew it. You didn't know what you're doing." And the teacher calmed everything down, and Philip says, "I know what I'm doing. This is right." And so the teacher asked, "Why is there nothing in the egg?" He said, Philip said, "Because there's no one in the grave. Jesus is risen." He understood that if Jesus had not risen, there would be no new life. But because the grave was empty, like his little egg, he understood that new life comes through a risen Lord. And to that I say, Philip understood better than any of those kids, and better than many of the world around us today. There is no greater symbol of new life than the empty tomb. Well, when you think of the cross that brought that need for a tomb, you probably think, first of all, like most of the world would even, a cross, crucifix, they think of Jesus. But you realize that Jesus was not the only person who died on a cross. This was a vicious tool used by many. As a matter of fact, in 519 B.C., the Persian king Darius crucified over 3,000 Babylonians on crosses. And then in A.D. 66, after Jesus was crucified on that cross, the Roman government crucified 3,600 people in Jerusalem on crosses because of their of trying to hold them down. And that actually built up a fresh uprising. And then in A.D. 70, they actually came in, and Rome destroyed Jerusalem, totaled it, and the temple. Well, we're in 1 Corinthians 15, and we understand that the cross is so important. Nazareth died by crucifixion, which makes people look to him for salvation. It is the fact that 3 days later, he rose from the tomb, and it stood empty. He rose from the dead. And it's not like he didn't tell anybody he was going to do this. In the Old Testament, we do see facts that the Messiah would rise, but Christ was very clear about it. In Matthew 16, he said, it says there, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed. And then it says, and be raised again the third day. Even at the time that he was being taken to that cross and being prepared for it, his enemies went to Pilate and told him, "Sir, we remember while he was still alive how that the deceiver said, 'After 3 days, I will rise.'" See, let's never, ever forget that the resurrection is the single most greatest event that has ever happened. It is the greatest sign to mankind that Jesus truly was God. Well, if it hadn't been for the resurrection, the ministry of Jesus would have ended. The claims that he had would have been ignored. He would have been just another religious martyr, just another guy that died for a cause. And he would have been forgotten long, long ago. So I talk to you this morning from a perspective that says, what do you believe about Jesus' resurrection? What decision have you made about his resurrection? Is this doctrine, is this truth that Jesus has risen central to your faith, to your life? It has to be. So 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 to 10. Let me just read a little bit of that. You got your Bibles open? 1 Corinthians 15. "Now I would remind you," Paul says, "brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." You hear that? It was all foretold. The Scriptures told that Jesus, the Messiah, would be raised. And then verse 11 says, "Whether then it was I or they, so we preached and you believed." He's talking to a Corinthian church that is struggling. They believe that Jesus died. They believe that Jesus was raised. But they were struggling about their own personal resurrection. Would I rise from the dead? They were struggling with all kinds of philosophies that surrounded them. Philosophies that seemed, well, okay for them because they've been raised in them. They were struggling with philosophies that the Greeks had. Many of the Greeks believed in a dualistic philosophy that everything that is spiritual is good. Everything that is material is bad. Even in 1 John, John was fighting the beginnings of what was called Gnosticism. To the Gnostic, the idea of a resurrected body was a repugnant idea. The very reason of going to the afterlife was to escape this awful body. And so that's what I think Paul was also fighting. Even today, resurrected body, the resurrected life is not something that a lot of people believe in. A lot of people teach in things like soul sleep, in which the body dies and it disintegrates while the soul or spirit rests in limbo forever and ever. Others believe in reincarnation. That's the philosophy of do-over. You get to try it again and again until you get it right, but you never, ever get it right. The other philosophy that is often touted today is the utter distinction, extinction. That is, once you die, it's done. It's all over. Nothing else. he has been raised from the dead, how do you, among you, say that there is no resurrection of the dead? How do you say that? How do you get there? He's ultimately saying, if you take away the resurrection, then Jesus remains in the grave. Resurrection is critical. But the resurrection of Jesus was foundational. It was the beginning. Peter told of David in the Old Testament, he said, concerning the resurrection of Christ, he said, David said, the soul was not left in Hades. He knew, David even knew, the king knew that one day the Messiah would be killed and he would be raised from the dead. And even in the great vision that the Apostle John has in the book of Revelation, Jesus says of himself, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I live forevermore. Well, that's what the scriptures teach. That's what Old, New Testament, and the Apostle Paul is dealing with this in 1 Corinthians 15. You can simply call this the resurrection chapter. Well, we want to deal now with the consequences of Jesus not rising from the dead. The first consequence is the preaching of the gospel would be absolutely meaningless. Think about it. Think about it with Paul as he says in verse 14, and if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is in vain. Christ didn't rise. Why are we even standing around here preaching about him? Why? As it said in verse 3 and 4, for I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to scriptures. Apart from the resurrection, Jesus could not have conquered death, and death would be forever man's conqueror. Without the resurrection, the good news would be bad news, wouldn't it? There would be nothing worth preaching. Without the resurrection, the gospel would be empty, a hopeless, empty message. Unless the Lord conquered sin and conquered death, making way for victory for all men, there is no gospel to proclaim, no good news to share. Then he says, not only that, he says, our faith in Christ would be worthless. Preaching would be in vain. Faith would be worthless. Verse 14 again. Faith would be worthless. Faith in such a gospel would be vain. It'd be empty. It'd be fruitless. A dead Savior cannot give life. If the dead don't rise, Christ didn't rise. And we won't rise. Hebrews 11 is a wonderful chapter in the scriptures. We call it the Hall of Fame, Faith Hall of Fame. And you see Abraham and Enoch. You see Rahab and David in there. And it talks about their faith in the coming Messiah who would raise from the dead all those who put their faith and trust in that Messiah. It wouldn't be the Hall of Fame for the faith-filled. It would be the Hall of Fame for the foolish. Why? Why would we ever believe in a dead, buried Savior? So our gospel would be meaningless. Our faith would be foolish. And thirdly, all witness to and preachers of the resurrection would be liars. I would stand up here and be literally lying to you that Jesus is the answer. If he was dead and still in that grave somewhere, I would be a liar. It would be a lie for all the apostles to have claimed that he rose from the dead. All the New Testament writers would have lied, and the heart of the gospel would have been torn apart. Then the next thing is, why would we consider their moral teachings if they lied about Jesus having risen from the dead? Why would we consider any of their moral teachings? Why would we even look at this book and consider it worthy of basing our entire life and practice of? It would all be a lie. Logically, die, we too would remain in a cold, dark grave. As Romans says, the wages of sin is death. Death and eternal punishment are the only prospect for the believer and the unbeliever alike. And we would say that if Jesus didn't rise, he didn't bring forgiveness for our sins and salvation for our souls and reconciliation between us and God, the Father. Our spiritual life would be dead. But I want to remind you, it's kind of gloomy right now on an Easter Sunday, isn't it? Christ did rise. Romans 4, if you're taking notes, Jesus our Lord rose from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. John 14, because I live, you too shall live. Acts 5, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be Prince and Savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. What if Jesus didn't rise? We would be all lost. If he did, all former Christians would have eternally perished. Verse 19, if in this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are all men the most pitiable. Isn't that an interesting phrase? We are all of all men the most pitiable. Christians would be pitied because we are believing in something that doesn't exist. Without the resurrection and salvation and blessing it brings, Christianity would be absolutely pointless. Do you recognize that? Do you believe what Christ has done for you? In not only dying on the cross, but being raised from the dead, he has made what we believe in him to be the most important thing in our lives, and that is that we have salvation. Well, Christ is risen. And I love in the scriptures, if you're reading along in the Bible and you read words such as for or but, you know something's coming, don't you? Well, let's look at verse 20. That something good is coming. Verse 20. But, in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Christ has been raised. Jesus is risen. Let's try what we started off together today. Jesus is risen. And why do we know that? We know that because it tells us about him being the first fruits. This is a wonderful concept that has been graphically employed to help us understand the truth. Jesus has risen. You know, Paul here uses the first fruits concept. In the time that Jesus lived, and for many years before and after, it was an agricultural society. And God instructed Israel in the Old Testament that before that they would make a grand harvest of all the bounty of their harvest field, they would take a small sample. It would be a representative sample of that harvest. They would bring it to the priest, and they would offer it to the Lord. And then afterwards, they would harvest the rest of the harvest. What we see here is Jesus is that first fruit, that representation, that a greater harvest is coming. And guess who that greater harvest is? All of us who have put their faith and trust in him as King, as Lord, and risen Savior. He is the risen Lord. Just as Adam was the forerunner of everyone who died and dies, Christ is the forerunner of everyone who will be raised to life. Adam brought death into this world. Christ brought life. And all God's people will say, amen. Well, there's a story of a missionary in Brazil many, many years ago, trying to reach this one tribe. he'd go out up to his chest and still wouldn't believe. It wasn't until he dove into that river and he swam under that river and he came out on the other side and he came out breathing and alive and he raised his hands in the air. He says, "Look, I'm alive." That's when they realized he made it. He's alive and he's gone through that river. Now that missionary was able to say, "Jesus did that for you." He went to the grave. He died. He was raised to life. Why? So that you might be able to trust what he's done. Raise your hands into the air and say, "Jesus, he's arisen, and so my faith is in him, and I, too, will rise again." So what does this all do for us today? To know that the resurrection is absolutely critical, and that if we don't believe in the resurrection, there's a whole bunch of things. We shouldn't even be sitting here. We should be living life as the old adage goes, live for today, because who knows what tomorrow brings. But we live today in light of what's going to happen in the future, knowing that Christ rose. Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? Today you may be sitting in this auditorium, and you're here because somebody invited you. But you've never put your faith and trust in the risen Lord. Jesus says it so clearly, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? I'm speaking to you today. Maybe you're sitting on the precipice of a spiritual life with God that you've been contemplating. Today, Jesus says, "I'm alive." Will you believe that I am your Savior, that I died for you, and that if you just trust me, you too can live forever? Well, I pray that today, as you leave to go have that good meal, and as you're rubbing your belly later today, you are first and foremost thankful to God for your blessings. Your blessings of a good meal, hopefully family and friends around you, but most important, in the fact that Jesus is alive, that he rose from the dead. Jesus is alive. He died, he's risen, and guess what? Father, we thank you for this day and for the joy of singing praises to you, for the fact that we have a living Savior, one who's risen from the grave, one who is the first fruit of the resurrection that all of us can experience if we